If you don't know Louis Anderson from Louis C.K., Charlie Chaplin from Tina Fey, Don Rickles from Nichols and May, if you feel confused and you don't know who to ask, I've got your new favorite podcast. 'Cause they're nerds, nerds about comedy. Justin and Dan, they are uncommonly knowledgeable about S&M. Kids in the Hall and Saved by the Bell. They're nerds, nerds about funny stuff. Stand up and sketch, they just can't get enough. Tell all your friends, go tell your mama she should drop everything. Listen to the Comedy Nerds.
Hello, welcome to the Comedy Nerds. I'm Dan McInerney.
And I am Justin Diodato.
You guys are tuned in, strapped in,
and
ready to go.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
It was so lonely here last week.
Sorry.
Last week's episode, sound engineer wasn't here. Dan wasn't here.
No.
I was just sitting in our 4,000 square foot studio all by myself.
You were like a step away from like the Unabomber. Just like recording by yourself, just scribbling in a notebook. Just, you know.
Right. And the thing was, I listened back to the episode and I was like, I'm a worse DJ than I was when I was a DJ. And I realized it's because, like, when I was a DJ, you're used to sitting in that room by yourself.
Yeah.
But here, you're always across from me.
Yeah.
You know? And you weren't. And I was like, I'm talking to a person who's not there. It's so sad. Yeah. But you're back.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I am back. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having
Welcome.
Me back. And thank you guys for tuning in. We were here in New York during a oddly mild winter.
Yeah,
thank you. The point where I keep forgetting what time of the year it is, because like I have a pool, you know, and there's like water on top of the pool, and then the water is like not frozen.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, man, I can't wait for Halloween. It's gonna be great. It's coming. And you know, my point is, it feels like fall when in fact it's this like this time last year we had like 3 feet of snow. That it snowed like December 26th, but was still around
right.
because it like was so cold that nothing was melting.
It snowed over the weekend, and I had plans that day, and I was like, should I cancel because it snowed and it's for a church? And I was like, no, it snowed 2 inches.
So 2 inches,
and it's supposed to.
And it was gone. Yeah, it was gone the next day, right? And then there was that weird snowstorm in October. What I'm trying to say is Jesus Christ is returning to Earth as the Mayans predicted, and crazy shit's happening. Let's all get ready. That's all I'm trying to say. That's what you know. It's what I'm here for.
Yeah,
I think that's what I'm here for, right? It's been so long since I've been on the show, I forgot exactly what the show is about.
You know,
sure it's about the apocalypse.
We're slowly moving over into like apocalypse.
Right. Well, at this point, you know, I mean, what else is there to talk about?
Right.
Anyway, but before we do that, as all apocalypse podcasts are, we're going to talk about comedy news.
Right.
So, Dustin, hit me with some news.
I'm going to pick one at random here.
Oh, we should have like a big wheel that we spin.
Yeah. Rumor has it that Chris Rock is trying to woo Dave Chappelle into doing a Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle comedy tour.
Okay.
And Chappelle's holding out right now. I don't know what he's holding out for, but it's close. I'm hoping it happens.
Yeah.
Just come on, man. Do it. We need some sort of rock and roll tour that isn't necessarily Dan Cook.
Here's the only reason I could I think it would be awesome.
Yeah.
But here's the only reason I could see Chappelle holding out is if you get Chris Rock and Chappelle and they're torn together, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel a little bit like when like Foreigner and Journey like are, you know what I mean? Like
his
it feels like a nostalgia act.
His inspiration for it?
I'm not saying he's right. Yeah. I'm just saying I could see where he's coming from.
His inspiration for it was...
Are you upset that I called Journey and Foreigner? A nostalgia act. She's like, Journey is still they're still cranking out hits.
Yeah. Did you not watch The Sopranos? his inspiration for it was Jay-Z and Kanye's tour.
Okay, all right.
Where he's like, you know, those two guys are rocking it out.
That's
we could rock it out. And I would hope then that if they do that, then like Chappelle does a set, Rock does a set, and then they do like a joint set at the end where they're like telling jokes together and doing each other's punchlines and stuff like that. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool. I heard that that Kanye and Jay-Z thing, somebody went to it and their encore was just to play the same song 8 times in a row. That was it. They literally played the same song and they sang it, you know, or whatever.
What song was it?
It's one I cannot say out loud. Because I'm made mostly of white guilt.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, N-word in Paris, I think I can, or N-words in Paris, I think I can.
Okay,
I can say.
But so was it like?
I guess that's
they played
it
eight times. Or did they like Steve Miller Band it, where it was just like 45 minutes of Fly Like an Eagle?
I don't know.
Like, is that, you know? And
yeah,
they're just assuming like, well, everybody's baked at this point. Like, let's just keep playing this song.
I don't know. I mean, I think they basically just played it, like just kept playing it again and again.
Okay,
like, or. So, yeah,
that seems weird.
I think that's why this person told me that story. That
okay,
like, let me tell you a weird thing. I went to see the Jam, and the Encore was just playing the same song eight times over again. But I would love to see the Jam band version of that. Of just like, ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve Miller. He just comes out like a 20-minute solo.
Because I saw Steve Miller Band do that. I saw him do
a
15-minute Fly Like an Eagle, and I was the only one there who wasn't high, and I was like, all right, Steve, we get it.
Dude, I saw Blues Traveler, okay, do that, and I was high. And I was like, okay, I think we get it. I think we can move on. Thank you. The colors that I'm seeing are very pretty, but I think, you know, I do have to get home at some point. So I think we can move on, close with Run Around, and then we can all go home, all right? What else we got on our news?
Beautiful.
On our news.
What else do we have? Oh, let's see. Melissa McCarthy?
Okay.
Just got the Oscar nod. For Bridesmaids.
I love it.
She got it for Best Supporting Actress in a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they also got it for Best Screenwriter.
Oh, good.
Or Screenplay.
Good Screenplay, yeah.
Yeah. Got locked out of Best Picture.
Now,
I'm going to go ahead.
It's a good movie, but let's not, you know.
Yeah, but I'm going to go ahead and say this.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I have seen Bridesmaids,
mm-hmm.
but I have not seen the movie I'm about to mention. So I could be wrong.
All right.
But I'm going to go ahead on record right now and say fuck The Artist.
Oh. I heard it's good, though. I haven't seen it.
It may be good.
Yeah.
But I'm so sick of it getting nominated for every... The only thing it didn't get nominated for that it could have been nominated for was Best Screenplay. Yeah. And it was because it had no words.
Wow.
That was the only thing it didn't get nominated for that it had the option of. And I think it's just because everybody's so thrilled, like, oh, look, it's 2012. We made a silent movie. Right. That must mean it's art, and that must mean it's wonderful.
I know, but why are you surprised that that happened? Like, I understand your anger, but...
Because I don't
It's
like
a
it.
Black and white silent movie. Obviously, it's going to get nominated, and it's apparently pretty
right,
good.
Right, that's what pisses me off about it. The minute you put a movie in black and white, everybody's like, oh, it's artsy. I must love it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there are plenty of other movies out there
yeah.
that are not getting nominated.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
I'm sorry.
So, anyway, good luck to her.
Yeah.
I hope she wins. Bad luck to Glenn Close. Bad luck to Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
And bad luck to The Artist.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You're a hater.
Yeah, well, Glenn Close is getting it for some weird artsy thing where she just plays an old dude. And I looked at it and I... plays a lady who's dressed like an old dude.
Oh, okay.
She's a lady pretending to be an old dude. And it's just like, hey, here's a British movie that Dustin doesn't like. That's exactly what the picture is. It's a picture of British movie Dustin doesn't like. And Meryl Streep, could we just stop fucking nominating her for shit?
Yeah.
Like, we get it. You win. Here's an Oscar every year. Just stop it. Let other people win things.
I'm sorry.
So I'm sorry. There's a lot of...
That's okay.
Whatever, there.
I mean, I'm excited because, you know, we talked, obviously, on the show a long time ago about comedians getting nominated for Oscar. But this is a nomination for a purely comedic role.
Right.
Which I don't even know if that's ever really happened before. I mean, I'm trying to think of a good example. But usually when a comedian gets nominated, they're being somewhat serious. You know, it's not a wacky comedy, where this is definitely pretty...
It's a Spanglish type situation.
Yeah. Or like even like I mean the only
touching,
one I,
but he's funny.
The only one I could think of was I'm blanking on a name right now. But that movie In and Out with Kevin Kline, the woman got nominated.
Okay.
In that. Joan Cusack, thank you. Which is a comedic role, but it was still, you know, somewhat serious. Where this is like even the serious parts of Bridesmaids do not involve Melissa McCarthy really. She's pure comedy, so
they shot that in my hometown.
Oh, they did on Long Island. Yeah.
It's Northport.
I remember when they were shooting that. Yeah.
They changed the name of it, so it's not Northport in the movie, which I don't understand why Northport couldn't work, but whatever. Anyway, moving on. You had a story?
I was going to say, so Jay Leno is being sued by some big wig in the Middle East. Something that I'm not even trying to say it because I'll just end up being offensive because I don't know how to say this Middle Eastern thing. But anyway, the point is that the joke was that he's like, oh, here's Mitt Romney's summer house. And then he showed like a palace.
Right
in the Middle East.
A gold palace.
Right. And because Mitt Romney's rich. We all see where this is going.
Yeah.
So anyhoozle. So apparently this was like offensive to somebody and they got all mad and they're suing NBC.
It's offensive because it is considered the holiest place on earth.
Absolutely.
For Sikh. Is it pronounced S-I-K-H?
I thought it was Sheik.
Sheik, okay.
But I could also
It is one of the holiest places on earth for them, and they felt that they had damages of loss of reputation and other stuff like that because somebody who's not of that religion wouldn't even be allowed into the place.
I gotcha.
My feeling on that is you lost value in your reputation when you built a solid gold temple.
Right.
Because if there's one person on the planet who is starving to death, then don't build a solid gold temple. Use that money for something else.
Right.
So I am backing Jay Leno on this.
Well, the only thing I can understand their point, because if they're like...
They don't want to be associated with Mitt Romney?
No, they're like, look, I mean, Leno, really? I mean, if it was Jimmy Fallon, look, that kid's hip. It's happening. The kids like him. Just the Leno. We don't want it. We're not for 50-year-old grandmothers, you know? But no, I agree with you. I mark this calendar down. Mark this day down on the calendar. I'm going to defend Jay Leno. I'm sure he had no idea. And no one had any idea. It was just a funny, it's a solid gold temple.
Right.
That's it. I'm sure he had no intention of.
I am surprised that anyone who would be offended by that joke.
Yeah.
Was watching.
Saw Jay Leno.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's very, and I kind of feel like all the other late night people are like, really? Leno got busted?
Yeah.
Have you seen the shit that we do?
I think that's the other thing, too, that like all of America wants to be like, not Jay Leno. Jay Leno did nothing offensive.
Right.
If he did, it was completely by accident. He couldn't, he is so careful about never doing anything mildly controversial.
Right. Now, he's going to have to tone it down. That's what scares me, is that he's going to need to get more conservative. Yeah.
He's like, guys, we got to reel this in. We're in a lot of trouble here.
Just doing jokes about rainbows from here on out, because rainbows don't exist. Yeah. And then,
well, they exist, but they're an optical illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You can't grab one.
No, you couldn't.
You can't hug a rainbow.
You can't slide down one.
No.
Like in the opening of the Punky Brewster cartoon. What? All right, let's move on.
What else we got? Oh, we haven't seen it yet, so we don't know anything about it. But tomorrow night, assuming that you're listening to this before I post it.
Yeah. Before. Okay.
Because I'm probably not going to post it.
So for me, this is for my
assuming
bad.
You're you.
Yeah.
On Showtime.
I am me.
Tonight is the premiere of Inside Comedy.
Oh.
We talked about this months ago, but basically it's sitting down, talking with famous comedians about being funny and about their careers and stuff like that. The premiere episode has Don Rickles and Jerry Seinfeld, two comedians who I would say are nothing alike.
obviously there's some similarities. But
there are, but I mean, Don Rickles is... They're based his entire career on why he hates you.
Yeah.
Seinfeld has based his entire career on isn't it weird when.
Yeah.
So, but I'm sure they both have interesting stories. And, it's something worth checking out. If I had Showtime, I'd already have it on that channel.
I agree with you. If I had Showtime, I would be watching this. But yeah. I guess there'll be no other way for me to see it. Oh, wink. Okay.
You're not going to download it illegally.
No, why would I? That would be crazy. Okay. The Hangover 3 is coming. There's nothing we can do about it. It's happening.
Whether you want it or not.
The important thing, though, is the three main actors, Cooper, Helms, Galifianakis. You know who I'm talking about.
And the other guy.
No, I don't think that guy. It's not, I'm sure he may be in it. But those three are getting paid $15 million to be in the movie, which apparently is each.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, each. No, they're not going to throw a pile of money and they have to split it up amongst them. No, they're just going to get paid $15 million each
No, I read the article and it said it's $15 million and it's on the East Coast.
Okay.
And they each get a car on the West Coast, and they have to
race it.
Whoever gets there first keeps the money.
It's under the big X. Yeah. That's for all you mad world fans out there, which is probably me. Okay. Anyway, $50 million, and the important thing here is that this is twice as much as they made for the first two movies. So if you took what they made for one and two, put that together, and then double that,
right?
It's still not $15 million, so it's quite a pay jump, which is weird considering the second movie. I guess it was it a success?
Yeah.
I assume.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a critical.
It wasn't financially a success like the as huge a success as the first one was.
Right. Which is weird because usually sequels, for some weird reason, make more. Well, not for some weird reason. People catch up on video and then go to the movies.
Yeah.
But they usually end up making more money than.
Yeah, this one just made so much money. The first one made so much money. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. That's still making money, even though.
How? Like, because I feel like when we think about. I don't really think about Bradley Cooper, but when we think about, like, Ed Helms and Zach Galifianakis, like, they're both people who you feel like sort of came up from the underground a little bit. You know, like, Zach Galifianakis was comedians of comedy, and Ed Helms, like, through The Daily Show. And, like, now all the people that they're, like, buddies with know they're making 15 mil for this shit. Like, how weird is that got to be when you're like, hey, guys, come on over. Why don't you guys bring some beer? And it's like, fuck you, bring some beer.
Yeah.
I want caviar when I get here. You made $15 million, you douchebag.
Yeah.
I was a Daily Show correspondent. I don't think so. I mean, I wasn't, but you know what I mean.
Like, yeah. You're speaking as someone who is
a Daily Show. I'm saying Vance Generous wants to punch him in the face. That's what I'm saying.
I feel like Vance Jenner probably has a lot of anger for a variety of reasons.
Right.
But we won't get into that. Also, his sister is quite popular and probably makes a lot of money. I would hope. Now you're gonna say Zach Galifianakis, you know, he's selling out here.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say. I hope that he is. In that, it would be awesome if he got paid $15 million for this movie. And then was just like, I got fuck you money. And I'm just going to go make like crazy art house movies and, you know, like weird little comedy things and just pop up. And because I don't have to work ever again. I'm done. I don't have to make another dime for the rest of my life. This is all the money I could ever possibly need.
And people say like, oh, he's selling out. Like even if people who are saying, oh, he's selling out.
Yeah.
Right. If somebody said, hey, I'll give you $15 million.
Yeah.
Over the course of the next 4 months, which is probably about how long it takes him to film the movie, I'm going to kick in the nuts 3 times a day.
Yeah.
You cool with that?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you would be.
Yeah, like, yeah.
There is no chance that you would say no to that offer. Anybody would do it. If somebody offers you $15 million and you don't already have $15 million, even if you do have $15 million, you do it.
Yeah.
And if the other guys are making $15 million, you do it. He's human.
Yeah.
And it's not A Tale of Two Kitties. Yeah. It's a real movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, it's a weird thing because, you know, obviously, like, when Bill Murray took Garfield, like, he knew he was selling out. He's like, it's Garfield, whatever. But this is a weird thing these guys just lucked into. Like, nobody knew that The Hangover.
Yeah.
I mean, they were starring in a Hollywood movie, so it wasn't like they were completely unaware of the fact of what was happening. But it was still a complete, like, nobody saw that coming.
No, but Galifianakis was clearly fucking around in the first movie.
Yeah, it was a giant surprise hit that came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, these guys are like, well, this is my one chance probably to make this kind of money.
You know who it's going to be the weirdest for is Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Because he already, like, had a career.
Yeah.
You know? He was an A-team, for goodness sake, the movie.
Yeah.
Which actually wasn't really a career.
Yeah.
But.
Well, he was always the the douchey jerk, whereas now he's the douchey hero, which is just a slight turn, but
like for him, he'd always been sort of like, at the time he was already kind of like a movie star type person, and the other two guys were like, this is awesome, I got my own trailer, this is cool,
and then
all of a sudden it's this giant fucking thing. What else we got? We should have mentioned this a while ago, you guys probably know about it, but IFC just picked up 2 new shows coming to the air soon, I believe in June.
Okay.
Comedy Bang Bang by Scott Aukerman.
Yep.
Based off the podcast, not entirely based off the podcast, but, you know, from podcast fame. Reggie Watts will be the house band.
Nice.
So that's always fun. And Bunk, which was formerly known as Pointless, a game show by Kurt Braunohler.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the nicest, funnest guys in comedy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's always nice to see a guy. I knew him when he was nothing, Kurt, and he was a super awesome, nice guy and was super awesome, nice to me, even though I had nothing to give him.
Yeah.
It did him no good to be nice to me because I was 10 times more nothing than he was at the time. I was literally nothing. And so he was super nice, awesome. So it's always great to see someone like that succeed.
And
it can happen. You can be a nice guy and still succeed in this business we call show.
Yeah. And speaking of awesome dudes who you should check out doing things that they do, this Sunday, John Mulaney is premiering his 1 hour special, New in Town.
Okay.
Check it out.
You're asking me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's called New in Town.
Oh, okay.
But I was saying it in a way that I wasn't confident when I was first saying it.
I gotcha.
But once I heard me say it.
So where is this happening?
Comedy Central.
Okay.
Sunday night. I believe it's at 9 or 10 o'clock. Check your local listings.
Yeah.
Check him out. He's like one of the head writers for Saturday Night Live now. Great stand-up comedian. Just overall fun dude. You will thoroughly enjoy it. Take a listen. Buy the DVD. Give him money. Throw your underwear on stage.
Yeah. I will do all of those things.
Throw your underwear at the TV set.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I have to wherever... While the special's happening, I'll have to go to wherever it was taped and then throw my underwear on stage.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Like, I think it was in the city, so I think it'll be easier.
All of Tom Jones and all of his fans will be completely confused why I did that.
Right.
And I'll be like, you got to watch Comedy Central. It'll make sense. I'll see you guys later. You're doing great, though. I love you. Look, he still looks great, right? He's like,
right, but if you throw your...
He's got to be pushing 60. He looks fantastic.
But if you throw your underwear at Tom Jones,
yeah,
people won't be surprised.
Well, I think if a large man did, I think people would probably be upset. That's what I'm trying to say.
True. But if you threw it at, like, Mumford & Sons.
I guess so, yeah. Like, I guess that would be weirder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, I don't know, like a magician.
Arcade Fire.
Some, like, random magician is like, okay, I don't know why that happened, but thank you, sir.
I'm just saying names of bands that I saw on VH1's Top 20 Countdown that sound engineer knows who they are, but I don't.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the one story that we did not talk about, which we will talk about in the second half, is this week on the WTF podcast.
Yeah.
Todd Glass came out.
Yes.
Which was a surprise to a lot of people, including myself.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that, about sort of dealing with your own personal issues and hiding them and just a bunch of different things. It was a really great episode to listen to. I highly suggest you listen to it. And well, we're going to spoil it for you a little bit with some of the stuff that we're going to say, but it's still good listen.
You're also, by the way, this is a recording, so you can stop it now and go listen to it if you really don't want to be spoiled. But you should have listened to it by now.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's not like, you know.
Yeah. Take the time. Even if you're like, I don't have time, take the time. It's a good episode.
And again, I'm telling you right now, if you haven't heard it and would be upset that we're going to spoil it, pause this right now and go either download it or pull it up on your iPod, listen to it, and then come back here.
Right.
And then nothing will be spoiled for
you. And we'll go to break to give you time to do that.
Okay.
Do you have a question or topic you would like to hear the Comedy Nerds discuss? Send us an email to info@thecomedynerds.com or stop by the site and click Contact Us at the top of the page. We look forward to hearing from you at thecomedynerds.com.
All right, and we're back. So, as you mentioned before the break, on the latest episode of WTF with Mark Maron, Todd Glass, who's a comedian you're probably familiar with, I'm actually not that familiar with him, but I remember when he was on Comedy and Everything Else with Jimmy Dore, so I'm, you know, familiar with him, but and I've seen him, you know, occasionally here and there, but I didn't follow his career or anything. But obviously he was a name that, you know, people knew and he was out there. He came on the show, and obviously Mark Maron knew this was going to happen, and came out to the world as being gay. And apparently some people knew, you know, he had close friends who knew or whatever.
Yeah.
But apparently he had other friends, including Jimmy Dore, as he said on the show, who didn't know. And he said, you know, I assume a lot of people probably guessed, you know, or they said suspicions. but I never confirmed it. And, you know, he was keeping this hidden. So a pretty, you know, brave thing to do, especially, yeah. You know, I think he said he was like 47 or something. So you can imagine he's been living with this for at least, what, 37 years? Yeah. Like when, well, I don't know when one sort of, you know, starts to realize that. Unfortunately, there are two straight men here who are going to to talk about this in the best way we can. And I don't, you know.
We tried to make it different, but situations did not.
Yeah, we had a guest who might have had a slightly different point of view on this. That fell through. What are you going to do? You move on with life. But, yeah, I mean, you know, so I think we can talk about that. But then I think we can also move it away from that specific thing. And I'm sure we have things in, yeah. you know, our lives and our comedy and whatever that, you know, that we could relate to, even though, you know, yeah. not that thing specifically.
Well, I mean, to sort of jump off from that point.
Yeah.
The thing that struck me the most from listening to it was how free he sounded.
Yeah.
You know, it was something that he had been hiding for so long, and it just sort of came out. And for me, it sort of struck a chord with all my vision stuff. Because, you know, I've spoken a little bit on the podcast about, you know, my visual impairments. But when it comes to, like, work and stuff like that, I don't, because nobody wants their TV producer to be legally yeah. blind. Yeah. So you have to really spend so much energy and such an effort to not be who you are
right.
and to be who you hope that everybody else will appreciate, and to just be normal to the rest of the world, knowing that if they really knew who you were, they might not like you, and they might make you want to leave, mm-hmm. you know, and they might not take the time to really understand. And I was struck with that sense of, like, I envy that freedom,
right?
You know, and that's what really just sort of stuck with me, that a comedian is one of those people who gets up on stage and is very naked in front of the audience. Usually is very like, here's the deep, dark shit that's going on in my mind. And, he was hiding that for so long. When we were prepping for this episode, I went back and I was like, okay, let me go listen to some old Todd Glass, you know, stuff, really get a sense of, you know, 'cause I remember him as a comedian that's very in your face, for lack of a better word. He's loud, and he's angry, and not angry, but, you know, and when I went back to listen to this stuff, like, he spent half of his set talking about his girlfriend.
Right.
And clearly that's made up. I mean, comedians make stuff up all the time, but, it seemed like such an effort was being put into not being who he was.
Right.
And as we talked a little bit off mic about, like, yeah, it was probably a thing where, you know, he just inserted the word girlfriend for boyfriend in the reality of the story, but he still felt this need to do it. And I thought, even I kind of felt like in that set, and if you want to go back and listen to it, it's his 2008 Just for Laughs festival. Go on YouTube and you can find it. It wasn't even necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he could have told all those jokes without saying, "My girlfriend said, my girlfriend did this," and it just, I don't know, it seemed particularly sad that a person who gets up on stage and entertains and does that felt this need to hide it. And I'm just so glad that he doesn't have to anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it's a weird thing. Like, obviously, we all have things that we hide, you know, usually not something that big. But, you know, I don't, when I'm on stage, I don't talk about everything that, you know, is going on in my life or whatever. And there's nothing in my life that I feel like I'm hiding that's so big that, you know, I'm not being true to myself. I just, you know, don't talk about certain things. Also because they're not necessarily good avenues for comedy anyway.
Right.
So it's not like, but I'm just saying, you know, but yeah, I mean, I had thought, because I was listening to it and sort of trying to think about it in a critical way, and because I knew we were going to talk about this, and I actually did think of you, Dustin, for two reasons. And one was that he sort of, you know, he talked about and he talked about the Dave Chappelle thing, if you listen to the episode, about And it is true a certain way that being gay is a weird thing because it's such a big part of you, obviously. Mm. But you can hide it, right? At least, you know, to a certain degree. Like, when you walk into a store, like, you don't just say, hi, how you doing? I'm looking for, you know, a stereo. And by the way, I'm gay. Right. Like, it's just, you know, it's and it's not like being black or something else where it's like people immediately know.
Right, which was Chappelle's joke that, yeah, that you can hide that you're gay, but you can't hide that you're black.
Right, exactly. And if you listen to the episode, Ty Glass had a great, not comeback, but something that went along with that, which I honestly had never occurred to me before, which is that, you know, yeah, but if you are gay and you come out, like, there's a chance that, like, your parents will hate you.
Right.
You know, which is like, no, if you're black, your parents are going to be like, wait a minute, you're black? What? Now at 15 you tell us? Like, get out of this house. Like, you know, it's sort of, there's a freedom of not being able to hide as much right. as something may suck. Like, there's a freedom of being like, I can't ever hide it away. Like, everyone who I meet knows immediately.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, and then, you know, the other thing that he said, which is, you know, one of these, it always kind of makes me laugh, or I find it very interesting when there's like sort of this big thing, like, you know, I'm gay, which is usually comes out or whatever. But there's like all the little details in life that sort of go along with that. And he said, like, I'm going to lie again in a situation where it's like, if I'm in a store and I'm buying something and the shop person says, oh, is this for your girlfriend? I'm going to say yes, because it's too hard to explain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's sort of like with you. Like, someone like ask you a question and just be like, oh, you know, I don't know what anyone would ever say to you. Be like, not are you legally blind? No. But it's just like, there are just times in life when it's like, it's just not worth it.
No, they're
it's just not worth it to explain to someone, you know, or let's say you bump into someone on the subway. And that guy's like, hey, fuck you, asshole. You know, you're probably not going to be like, listen, sir, I am legally blind. I have this issue. You know, let me show you my doctor's note.
I've been waiting to do that. I can't wait. So far in my life, since I've been diagnosed, only one person's ever asked me, what are you, blind?
Yeah.
And it was a friend of mine. And I was like, fuck. Because, like, the person didn't know. And they were, like, giving me a hard time. And I was like, I'm just waiting for that jerk to say it.
Yeah.
But I do get that in... in sort of in the opposite way, because sometimes I walk around, if it's darker out or if it's crowded, I'll use the cane.
Yeah.
And people will try and help me cross the street. And sometimes they'll just like grab my arm and help me cross the street. And it's like, no, I got it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm wearing glasses. Like, I have it. But they're being so nice. And I appreciate the fact that they're doing it. And it's really hard to explain, like, oh, no. You see, there's a version of blind where you lose your peripheral vision as opposed to your center vision, and it allows you to get around, but it's more dangerous. And, you know, it's sort of like, I'm like, nobody wants all that explanation.
Nobody
cares.
Just
walk.
Yeah. You just go.
Just follow the guy.
You just say thank you, and then, you know.
But there are definitely situations where I could see that paralyzing fear. And I was thinking about, after I'd been diagnosed, and... it was all I wanted to talk about in the world.
Right.
Because it was such a big thing for me. But I didn't for a while. Partially because I didn't want to be that comedian. And, that's all I'm going to talk about. And partially because, like, it wasn't something that I was comfortable enough in me to start sharing with the rest of the world. I hadn't found it funny enough to go out there and talk about it. And now I talk about it in every set. I used a cane on the way up the stage, which that took me at least a year before I was comfortable doing that. And then I realized it just makes the whole joke easier if you just physically see me with a cane to understand. And that's really what sort of broke my heart listening to the Todd Glass episode, was that sense of like, he said, like, he's going to still lie about it. You know, he said he doesn't think he'll ever be able to hold, you know, someone's hand in public. And I was like, that sucks. You know, that sense of still being ashamed, not ashamed of who you are, but not being able to be perfectly comfortable with who you are.
He's also still obviously in a transitional period. I mean, we are, what I'm saying, like, we're listening to is him literally
announcing to the world. And obviously, it took this long. There's some uncomfortability there. He may find a year from now that he's like, ah, I will hold someone's hand in public. I won't lie. You know, I don't. Now that it's out, you know.
Yeah.
There's, you know, again, I mean, in such a weird way, it was a great way to do it because it's so annoying. I've had, you know, my dad has some medical issues recently, and I've been like all over the place, and I've been canceling things, and it's just so annoying. I would love to just like send out a mass email just telling everybody, because it's so weird. Like every time someone's like, "Hey, where were you?" And I'm like, "Well, this is, you know," and having to tell the story over and over again, and then the person's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "No, you didn't do anything wrong. Like you just asked, you know, where I was or whatever." Like, you know, I'm not doing this to be like, "Ah, fuck you, I got you. You were annoyed I wasn't there, and now you feel like a dick." Like, but you know, it's just a weird thing to have to, like, you know.
That's how I took it.
Yeah. But so, just having to tell it over and over and over again, you know. That's such a weird thing. So it's just great to be like, boom, now it's out there, and you know, anyone who's gonna hear it and anyone who didn't hear it is gonna hear it from someone else. And he doesn't have to go every time he goes to a new city, you know, and starts with a new, you know, warm-up comic, has to be like, "Hey, listen, my act's different. I'm gay, just so you know. I'm going to talk about it." You know what I mean? Like, everyone's just going to know now. Right. So it's just sort of out there. So, you know, and that's the thing, too. Like, there's so much that, like, when you have something like that, you're so worried about what's going to happen that it, you know, it starts to consume your every thought. And then once it's over, you know, because now he's probably played out the scenario of, what if I went outside with my boyfriend and held hands in public? Like, what would happen? He's probably played that scenario over a million times and thought every bad thing that could possibly happen. And then when it actually comes down to it, he's going to be like, it's not really that big of a deal in the end.
True. But when here's part of that, though, in that if every gay person would come out if there were no consequences to
it. Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, and so it's great that he did it. And there are thousands upon thousands of comedy fans and comedy nerds out there who are going, "Fucking awesome. Great. I'm so glad you can be who you are." But there are also hundreds or maybe thousands of people who are like, "Well, I'm never going to listen to that fucking guy again."
Yeah.
Like, you know, and there are people who are going to, now that it's out in the open, he is going to have to face the consequences of stupid, stupid people who will hate him for that reason alone.
Right.
That's why I didn't talk about my vision stuff because I know that we'll probably lose a couple of clients over it. Otherwise, I would just tell them.
Yeah.
But that's why I have to hide it. Now, do people probably hide it more than they need to? Yeah.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, again, it's also a weird thing where, In a weird way, your situation is actually in another way parallel to him, which is that he's a stand-up comedian, and you expect people to get up on stage and talk about it. So it's not like Neil Patrick Harris is gay, but on TV, he's not. And I'm sure my mother doesn't know that he's gay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if she found out, she wouldn't care. Mm. But she doesn't know because on the TV, he's not. So. Yeah. Whereas, like, a stand-up comedian, you know, there's an expectation they're going to come out, unless they're, like, Stephen Wright or something. There's an expectation they're going to be some part of their life in their act. So he's sort of, like, now weirdly obligated to talk about it. Whereas, like, someone, you know, I mean, look, I'm sure there's people who are, like, hardcore homophobic out there, and it's like, there's nothing you can do about that. But I'm sure most people, again, like, if he was Neil Patrick Harris, or, you know, Neil Patrick Harris, if there's someone who is, like, kind of homophobic, they're like, "Well, whatever, he's on the TV, and, he, you know."
Yeah.
And he's not talking about it. It's not a direct thing, you know, whatever. And just knowing that probably doesn't hurt him, you know, or someone knowing that probably doesn't hurt him. But, yeah, it's a weird thing with Todd Glass where he's like, you know, again, is he going to talk about it in his act? And then, obviously, you know, any joke that ends with, you know, or starts with "my girlfriend said," like, it's now out the window pretty much. Or, 'cause, you know, now we know.
But I'm sure there's going to be a certain amount of him that, like, is just going to knee-jerk say the girlfriend thing again, like –
right.
Just because, like, well, I've told the joke 500 times.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to train myself to not do it.
Yeah.
To me, the thing that really just hit me was that sense of, like, knowing that what he's saying on stage is a lie.
Right.
You know, from his perspective, like, because, like you said, not every, you don't talk about every aspect of your life when you're on stage.
Yeah.
I don't talk about every aspect of my life on stage, but I am honest with what I say.
Yeah.
And I think if I was up there every night saying something that I knew wasn't true, I think that would be really super hard. And I think, you know, as Marc Maron said, I think his stand-up is going to get better now that he is more comfortable with who he is and he can, you know, take things that much farther.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the thought too. Like, let's go back and say, you know, 17 years ago, you know, you're 30 or you're just getting traction as a comedian.
47.
No, I'm saying him.
Oh, okay.
if he goes back or whatever and comes out then, right? And obviously it would have been a harder time to do it back then. Because sidetrack, I mean, my reaction was not good for him. This point, this is a personal thing, but my reaction was, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I really honestly don't give a shit at all. And I mean, I know we're talking about it, but on a personal level, whatever. Like, you know, it means I'm not even at the point
you're happy that he was comfortable enough to be who he is, but you don't really care one way or another about what his sexual preference is.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, in the early 90s, I would have been like, yeah, strike one for the good guys. And now I'm just like, I mean, I'm happy. Like, I'm not like, you know, but I'm just like, okay. Like, it's basically like, you know, if someone like announces like, oh, I'm getting divorced or something, like a celebrity, I'm like, all right, well, that's their life. There's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care one way or another. But I got sidetracked. I don't know what I was talking about. But the comedy thing. So if he, you know, let's say he goes back and he's 30 and he comes out, like, would his, there's no way of knowing how much him hiding that hindered him. You know what I mean? That he wasn't fully free. Like, who knows what hilarious, like, jokes he could have come up with if he was just honest on stage. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way of knowing. I mean, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But you could imagine that it held him back somewhat.
Right.
Right? That he was, because he was guarded and he couldn't, you know, say these things. That he was never fully comfortable on stage. He wasn't, you know. We see guys like Chappelle or, you know, who are just so completely fearless on stage, and you just know that, you know, that they'll talk about anything, and that's why they're so good, you know, because they have no guards, which obviously occasionally gets a guy like that in trouble, because you know sometimes you say something you shouldn't say, but
and I mean, that's not to say you have to get in, like Lewis Black.
Yeah,
I don't know shit about Lewis Black. Yeah. I know nothing about that dude's life. It's not the type of comedian that he is. But so you can get away with sort of being, you know, just observational and stuff like that. I don't know anything about Seinfeld's life.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's, but, you know, that's another weird thing, too, where you were sort of saying about, you know, not going to be, or, you know, knowing that something he said is a lie. You know, if a comedian told a story like, oh, I was in a bar and two guys said this and I said this back, if I found out that wasn't, didn't really happen, I wouldn't be like, bombshell, oh my god, like, you know. I understand that there's a level of, you know, whatever, like this sort of happened, but this made the joke better, so I changed this detail and this, you know, whatever, like, who cares. I mean, obviously that's such a, you know, a big part of it, you know, a big part of your life to not be talking about that.
What surprised me was, and maybe it's, you know, the level of comedy that I'm at or whatever, but I don't know that I have ever met a comedian that has come out of the closet. I've met gay comedians.
Right.
And I've met straight comedians.
But a guy who you knew as, or you thought was straight or whatever, and then came out later?
Yeah. I mean, I did, like, you know, in college.
Right, right.
In, you know, maybe not in high school. Probably if I was in high school now, I would have. But it struck me that the comedy community as a whole right now is not, at least maybe not in the city. I don't know how it is, where it is,
yeah,
every place else, but at least in New York, it's a very open-minded community. It's like, you're not going to be ostracized in New York City if you are a homosexual comedian.
I mean, I think if a comedian, you know, at least in the scene that we're in, were to come out, I think people would be pissed for the opposite reason of being like, why didn't you just tell us in the beginning?
Right.
Like, who cares? So, yeah, I mean, we also have to remember that Todd Glass is from a different generation.
Yeah.
I mean, he is, what, 14, 15 years older than us? That's huge.
Right.
You know, I don't know how many people, especially, you know, in the area of the country that we live, if they're gay, I mean, I think at this point you basically just kind of come out. Like, I don't know a lot of people who are still really holding on to that.
Yeah.
At least not, you know, I'm sure there's people out there like, look, I don't, my dad's a douchebag. I never, you know, but most people know, you know, yeah. whatever, or they're pretty open about it. So yeah, I mean, he, you know, again, like he grew up in a time where it was still, you know, kind of dangerous, you know,
right.
It's a, it was a rough thing to do, you know? I mean, the other thing that struck me, it was funny, I was listening to it, was just that it's funny how when something is like your thing, like, you know, anything you hear, like you said, like, you hear someone tell a gay joke and immediately it was just like sent off alarm bells. Or he talked about how he didn't like hanging around with, you know, guys who were effeminate and, you know, clearly like flamingly gay because it was like, oh, that's going to rub off on me, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone's going to suspect me, which is like something that's funny because, you know, as a straight guy who, you know, never had any question.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 12 years old, all of a sudden I was like, girls are awesome. And I was off and running. That never occurred to me because, yeah. you know, and I've had times where people have like called me gay and, you know, I can imagine for poor, you know, a guy like Todd Glass, I would send off, oh God, I got it, whatever. Whereas like, I always just thought it was hilarious. Like I never once was like, you know, but there's other things, you know, in my life where I am super focused, you know?
Yeah.
And, not to bring it back to you, but when they did the oh God, I'm so bad with names. The governor that
Patterson.
Yeah, when they did that on Saturday Night Live, like you're upset about it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that I, you know, that I wasn't whatever about it. But to be perfectly honest with you, I watched that and I didn't give it a second thought because
right.
it's not my thing, you know what I mean? Like, and that's not to say that you were wrong or whatever. But everyone has their thing that, you know,
yeah.
the moment you see it, like, it's, oh, this is a big deal. You know, we had Chris Grace, a comedian who's Asian, on here. And, I talked to him about how, you know, whenever he sees someone who's Asian doing something that he hates, he's like, oh, God, this looks so bad for Asians. Whereas, like, I've never seen someone on, you know, they're pulling a white guy out for a murder. I'm like, oh, this is so bad for white people. Like, this is
yeah.
just because, you know, I know this is just not the
right.
way
it's
that
not
you think.
You're sensitive to.
Exactly, yeah.
yeah.
And there are things that I'm sensitive to that even if I'm not offended or upset, there's still that, like, ping. It just sort of like, oh, that's my thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I think about, you know, or whatever. Like, you know, I'm sure I've talked about this before, but my dad was horribly burned in a fire when I was a kid. And whenever I hear someone, you know, a sort of a funny, like, go-to was like, oh, burn victim. Like, someone just did it to me the other day and was like, oh, what if I wanted to marry a burn victim? Like, that's crazy, right? That's like a punchline. And not that I was upset, that I was offended, but obviously it was just like, ping. Oh, right. That's because that's my thing. I'm sure if someone said that to you,
it wouldn't faze me.
Yeah. Well, not that it fazed me, but you just wouldn't give it a second thought. It would just go
yeah.
right past as like one of 50 punchlines where I was like, in my brain, it was like, boom, stick a pin in that one because that matters to me.
Right.
You know, and so that's the other thing, too, where it was like, you know, he would whatever, like girls would lie and say that that they had sex with Todd. And then he would like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, that totally happened. Whereas like if
right.
that happened to me, I'd be like, what? Why would you say that? Like, that's such a weird thing. You know, it would just never occur to me to.
It would depend on what the girl looked like, though. Like,
oh, yeah,
if
no,
some
absolutely.
Super hot girl was like, yeah, I slept with Dan, you'd be like, yes, she did. And that should encourage you other hot girls.
I think I'd still be like, I don't know why she's saying that. I wish it happened,
yeah.
but.
We should bring her back here and prove her to be a truth teller.
Yeah. But, you know, again, and like you said, like he was, you know, whatever. Someone would be like effeminate and whatever, and he would be concerned.
Yeah.
That, you know, he didn't want to hang out. And he said he felt terrible that he treated those people like shit because he was scared.
Yeah.
You know? And that would just never occur to me. And also, you know, when someone is an asshole to me, I try to do my best. I don't always succeed. But I try to do the best in that situation to think, why is this happening? Is this guy just an asshole? Or is there something that he's, you know, dealing with? Like, let's say, you know, you're an effeminate gay guy, and then this dude is being a dick to you, and you're like, oh, this homophobic asshole. Well,
maybe,
unbeknownst
yeah.
to you,
yeah.
he's secretly gay, and that's why he's freaking out about it. Not
yeah.
has nothing to do with, you know, for a completely different reason as to why you think that.
Well, to get back to the Patterson thing for a minute, and then we're almost out of time. The reason that that bothered me, and for those of you that don't remember what it was a Saturday Night Live bit, and Fred Armisen was playing David Patterson, the legally blind governor,
he was a governor.
Of New York.
He took over when what's-his-name got caught in the sex scandal.
Yeah.
Spitzer. So he was never elected.
Right. He was a frequent person on Fred Armisen did that character a lot on Weekend Update. And at one point, they had him like sort of walking in front of the camera.
Right,
and
not knowing where he was. Yeah.
And do blind people sometimes not know where they are? Sure.
Yeah.
But Patterson never did that.
Right.
You know, that wasn't something that Patterson did. And for me, the reason that it was so upsetting was because I spent so much effort trying to sort of maintain that composure, maintain the ability to blend in. And it's really hard. And somebody who's not visually impaired couldn't know what it's like just trying to be like everybody else and trying to appear like everybody else. And you couldn't understand that, you know, not the way that I do it. And I couldn't understand what Todd Glass is going through and all that. But the point being that just because something doesn't make sense to you as to why you should be sensitive to it, just be sensitive to it. Don't be an asshole about it, you know? You know, I'm not saying be super politically correct all the time and all that, but just know why you're making the joke. Know why you're saying that thing about that person. If it's worth it, if somebody benefits from it, if it's really that funny, if it's really necessary. Because the reason Todd Glass said for coming out, in addition to just freeing himself a little bit, was all of those, like, he kept talking about all those videos of the It Gets Better people, or the people who were getting bullied and killing themselves, you know, and that should never happen to anyone ever. Nobody should ever feel that way about something that they were born you know what I mean? And as comedians, we're always sort of wanting to push the envelope and wanting to, you know, so many jokes have been made that the only place to go now are those taboo subjects. But don't just go there because they're taboo. Don't just go there because there's a shock value. Have a reason for it. Have a point of view. Have something there because you don't know why that thing is upsetting to that other person. You couldn't, but respect the fact that it is. You know, this isn't the first time we've talked about, you know, topic of homosexuality on this podcast.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time we did it was real early on. You probably have to go to the website because I don't even think it's on iTunes anymore because the episode's so old. But we had Claudia Kogan and Michael Hartney on to talk just about being gay comedians. And I remember saying, like, is it cool if I say something's gay? Because I don't mean it as in homosexuality is wrong. It's just a thing that I said growing up. And Claudia looked me straight in the eye and said, no, it's right. not. I mean, I'll let you do it because I know who you are and I know how you feel, but no, I don't like it. And I never felt so shitty.
Right.
You know, as I, when she did that, and it was like, because I don't want to hurt her. Right. I don't want to hurt any of those people. And yeah, people are going to say something's gay or whatever, but just think about, like, because I'll tell you right now, like, I mean, I've probably said it a few times since then, but not nearly as much as I did before that. Before seeing that look in her eye and going, no, that hurts me.
Yeah.
So I guess just think about it.
Well, I mean, I think that's a perfect example of you're now on the other side of it with what we were just talking about, where you're not a bad person, but you grew up saying it and you just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Like, you're focused on your thing. Everyone's focused on their thing. And it just, you know, it just blew right past you and it never occurred to you until that moment you know. And what you're saying, like, you know, I think the other great thing about this was Todd Glass was like, I knew that there were all those kids out there that were killing themselves over this and stuff. And it was like, how could I, you know, say anything? How can I be like, oh, this is so bad and people shouldn't do that, when I'm not being honest, when I'm hiding it away, you know, to helps one person to hear me say, you know, I'm not going to hide it and lie about it anymore. If that helps one person, then, you know, it's all worth it. And again, I'm sure, you know, it's great to get it off your chest too.
Yeah.
Because again, like, you know, he'll never have that moment of panic again when someone says something and he's like, oh, do they know, you know?
Yeah.
It's just out there now, you know, and he'll never have that feeling again.
Although it's weird because I imagine it's out there now to a lot of comedy nerds. But, like, how many people really listen to WTF? I mean, we know we have, like, 4 or 5 million people that listen to this, but
I mean, all of his friends, you know, whatever. Like, again, like, he's going to go into a store and someone's going to say, how's your wife? And he's going to say, fine, because it's not worth. But that's not, right. You know, that's not worried about, oh, what do my friends think? What do, you know, other comics think? Like, everyone's going to know at this point. So he's never going to have to worry about that again. But that's, you know, I mean, not that I, in a weird way, like, I was sort of thinking about, too, like, how, in a weird way, I'm probably more analogous to, like, the really effeminate gay people that he was talking about, because all my life, I've just been who I am, and, like, there have been times in my life where I've thought, like, if I just wasn't such a weirdo, or if I just, like, calm the fuck down, like, things would be so much easier for me, but I just can't, like, I'm just physically unable to do that.
Yeah,
you know, so I can sort of see that too, of just like, I don't have a lot of secrets. I probably should have more, because when something really fucked up in my life happens, I want to do nothing more than tell everyone about it.
Yeah,
because I'm a freaking weirdo like that. But yeah, you know, I mean, but there are, because also for me at least, there's nothing worse than that feeling of, like, trying to keep a secret. Like, like, even when it's something good, like, I've told people, like, look, if you're having a surprise party, don't tell the person who's being surprised and don't tell me.
Right.
Because it drives me crazy, like, not being able to talk about something and being afraid, like, oh, what if I say the wrong thing? Like, just that feeling is so horrible to me that I can't imagine, like, that having be your whole life. Yeah. You know what I mean?
For those of you that are married, I'm sure we've all been, like, anybody who's been married knows that feeling of, like, I bought the ring.
Yeah, okay.
But I haven't given it to you yet, and I want to give it to you so bad. Like,
well, that was, I mean, I'll just tell the story real quick. When I got engaged to my then girlfriend, now wife, we were on vacation. We were in Disney World, and she knew that morning that it was coming.
Yeah.
Because I was super concerned about the timetable. I was like, we got to be here at this time. Like, what time? She said, you checked your phone to see what time it was, like, every 30 seconds that day. And I knew because every other day of my life, I've been like, whatever. If we get there, we get there. If we're late, who cares? And, like, all of a sudden, like, that's the thing. Like, I was super worried about it. I was like, this has got to be perfect. Like, this is, you know, and I knew something that she didn't know, which was literally driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there were, like, 30 times that day where I was just like, we were online for a snow cone. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it now because I can't take it anymore. This is driving me crazy.
I had 6 weeks. I had 6 weeks of that fucking thing just burning a hole in the clock. Like, I had it stashed away in it, and there were so many times where I was like, just take it. I can't. So just imagine that being your whole life. Anyway,
we're gonna have to leave it there because we're way over time, as usual. But you know, again, be who you are. Let's just leave it at that. You are,
and let other people be who they are.
Exactly, and that's the, you know, that's something he said too, where he's just like, I'm not pro gay. I'm just pro leave everyone the fuck alone. Like,
yeah,
if they're not hurting anyone, just leave them alone. Who cares? Like, do you know, 9 times out of 10, the people who are, like, so worried about, like, oh, you're gay, and this is, like, their lives are completely fucked up. Concentrate on your life, get your life straightened out, and then worry about other people, okay?
Except for people from North Dakota.
No, they got it.
Fuck
all.
Those guys.
They
but
got it all.
Everybody else.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't. Who hates North Dakota?
Nobody
hates North Dakota, except for South Dakota. South Dakota fucking hates North Dakota.
And with good reason.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you guys so much for listening. Go to our Facebook page. Go to thecomedynerds.com for all your comedy nerds needs.
And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com, where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.